right.
You got that, Art?
Right. Everything's good here.
What's going on?
I'm at the radio station at the moment and being interviewed with regard to music from the film.
We got, what's his name?
Jake.
Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus from Rolling Stoner.
Yes, I thought he was a football player.
Yes, how do you do, guys? Okay, let me speak to Rolling Stoner readers now. We're here with the band that we've been hearing today at the University of Missouri at WMUC.
It's Maryland. University of Maryland.
Maryland. Okay, University of Missouri.
Maryland. God damn.
What the fuck? This guy, man.
Yeah.
Okay, the band is Music from the Filth.
This guy's an idiot.
It's Music from the Film, damn it. Not filth.
Okay, music.
Should I kick his ass now or what?
I want to kick his ass.
And quite an interesting name.
He flew out here for this shit?
We flew him out here at our expense.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Oh. I didn't see that bill.
You will.
Well, let's let him ask his fucking
bill.
Questions.
Yes, we
Hey, listen, seriously. We don't mean to act like 14-year-olds, but we really can't act like 15.
Rolling Stoner. They haven't paid their publicity fee to Rolling Stoner magazine yet, but we'll talk to them about that. Music from the Filth. Well, tell me about that. The name of your band, Music from the Filth, and how you got that name.
Okay. Well, it was Gary's idea, and I immediately agreed
Who?
To it. You. Because I thought it was a great name, and it's interesting. It's music from the film, by the way.
Film.
Film. And we thought it'd be interesting to have something that would make people think that it was music from a film, but of course, nobody would use music like this.
That's wrong, actually. The premise is that we made the music, somebody else is supposed to make the film. And they haven't made the film yet.
Not yet, and maybe they never will. But if they do, we'll be very pleased.
Okay, I see that you... Wait, do you guys like being interviewed?
Personally, no. But I, Gary, what's your feeling on that?
Nobody ever really wants to talk to us.
I see that you insist on screening interview questions in advance.
Well,
we do.
I didn't see any advance questions. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I think the corporate headquarters sent it to you. Maybe you didn't get it.
I don't read shit from anybody's corporate headquarters.
We are affiliated with some organizations that protect our intellectual property.
Okay, so let's get to this. Where do you draw the line between entertainment and noise?
Let's see. That's a good question. It's really, I think it's in the mind of the listener, and it's clearly their distinction. I don't give it much thought. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and if some people like it, I'm glad they do, and if some people don't, I totally understand that, too.
Well, I don't really consider what we did today as noise, per se. Noise doesn't have any rhythmic or melodic elements to it, and I thought part of today was at least rhythmic and melodic.
Let's say then, there's a difference between the concept of noise and the concept of annoying. And maybe what we did was annoying, in my mind, may have been annoying to some people, but I would agree with Gary that it wasn't noise.
Okay. Do you think it's important for people to enjoy your performances, or do you think of your performances as a kind of punishment to knock a sense of bitter reality into listeners?
That's a great question. I think that, what was the question again?
The answer is yes. What's the next question?
What's the next question?
Oh, yes, it's both enjoyment and punishment, okay.
Uh-huh.
Do you consider your work to be message music or the sounds and motifs?
It's massage music. You should be playing with yourself.
Exactly. This is massage music, and you should be playing with yourself.
Do you feel close to your fans? Do you show them personal consideration?
We are groping them as we speak.
Sometimes they'll sit on my lap. I've been in rooms filled with naked fans, all rubbing their bodies up against me, and I was the only one wearing clothing. None of them were minors, so don't get any ideas, okay? We are an adult band.
A rubber band.
We're way past our primes. We're just like a bunch of big babies.
Okay, well, I hope there's no videos of that.
I hope so, too.
Well, how do you steer clear of people who hate your work? Do you ever feel threatened by your detractors?
We spend a lot of money on security. as you know, when we do a show in a town, we hire at least one set of doubles, people we've interviewed and kept track of. They're on retainer. They look like Gary. They look like me. They're doubles, just like you'd have a presidential double, whatever.
You have a triple, actually.
Yeah, today I have a triple. So there's two more folks running around town that look just like me, and we hope that if there's going to be a hit, it's going to be on one of them. And sadly, if they do get hit, their families get, nothing, right?
Okay, well, tell me, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you doing a performance?
Oh, God. Gary, you want to answer that?
I shouldn't answer that question.
I'll tell you what it was for me. The worst thing ever...
Shit your pants, didn't
you? Now, other than getting sick on stage, which I had done, I think the worst thing was not having your bandmate show up because they forgot there was a gig, or...
About this band?
Or they were at the restaurant next door having dinner. at showtime, and that has happened several times.
So this band?
No, I'm not going to say.
I don't remember it.
There's only a couple of people involved. We have some. We have a little better continuity in this band because there are fewer people involved, and it's more post-production. As you know, we're a studio band, and there's a lot of knob twisting and cursing going on in the background. So don't think it's spontaneous.
Yeah, we're a rubber band. We're very flexible.
We are. We'll play for anyone, anywhere, for any price. Any price we name.
Cursing. Do the members of your band get along socially, or is music strictly business proposition?
Well, we got to give a shout out to Kevin and wish his mom the best, actually, because he should be here with us. He would be. He's having a lot of difficulties lately, in all seriousness.
So, there are other people, and... of course, Kevin is one of the people who have been involved in our recordings in the last several years. There's also Brett and Mike. Mike Winters, big shout out to you tonight. Wish you were here with us, buddy.
Okay, do you like the music you make, or are you riddled with self-hatred?
No, we hate it.
Oh. Let me answer that, okay? Do I like the music I make? Let me put it this way. I have grave doubts about it. I try to do the best. I try to do a good job. And when it comes out trash, I accept it as such.
Okay, well, since a lot of your music isn't scored, do you find it difficult to repeat pieces in a live performance?
No, we use samples just like everyone else.
We do?
No, I'm lying. Actually, I don't like samples. So what you hear in a live scenario is it's more sparse than the studio work, but none of it sampled.
The correct answer is a lot of the instrumentation that Mr. Harrison has built and designed are random, and they just can't be repeated. They are art form in themselves as they are playing. Is that a better answer? You can't just make your machines do that. We have to can your sounds to do that.
You're right, Gary. Basically, the pots are too worn and dirty, and you could never get the damn thing set the same way twice.
Okay, let me specify for our listeners that when Jerry refers to the Hartman...
Who's Jerry?
It's Gary.
The two...
Hey, what's your name anyway?
Member Dick Butkus.
Hey, Dick, get your act straight, okay? We're on radio. This is big time, buddy.
Okay. We're here with Mr. Andy Hartman and Mr. Jerry
it's
Young.
It's Arthur Harrison, Gary Young.
Blood.
Young.
Blood.
From the band Music from the Filth. A film!
Okay. Next question. Who is your favorite living commercial music artist?
I don't know. I really have to say, give a shout out to Mike Winters.
We lost all our listeners.
Okay.
I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay. Are we really? Really?
Huh?
Really?
Well.
Oh, there's a coefficient here.
There's a couple.
four people out there. Give us a call at 301.
The number
is
314-8000.
Oh, 31.
I don't know how to put anybody on the air here.
Sorry, forget it.
I used to set up everything else but that.
We used to, you know, back in the old days, I've been working at, out of this station for 40 years, and nothing's changed except the way we do our landlines. There used to be a telephone here, and you could patch it into the board. But in these austere days, I don't think there's any copper coming up here anymore. And in fact, tonight, just for those of you who follow these types of things, and like these little tidbits of esoterica, this is an internet, strictly an internet broadcast. There's no transmitter up tonight. So our usual glorious 10 watts, is that right? 10 watts of FM power. Not an issue tonight. But, so I'm sorry, I got flung into some strange tangent. Next question, please.
Oh, okay, that's all right, Andy.
By the way, it's Arthur, not Andy, okay?
Okay, Arthur. What's your take on sampled sound for live performances? Do you like the idea of a show consisting of a laptop computer playing a string of predetermined samples, as some people do, or do you object to that?
I say offhand I don't like that as a performance concept, but I've never tried it myself, and if I did, I might like it, and then I'd change my mind, wouldn't I? So, you know, I'm not an expert on that. Most of what I use is very old analog gear. There's no samples. There's certainly no computers involved. Just a lot of knob twisting and switch flipping. Gary, I think, has a slightly higher degree of automation involved, because there are some commercial pedals with looping, but most of what he does is acoustic. And he plays, among other things, this big string instrument. It's called a dulcimer. That's covered with contact mics. And another thing that Gary has is a set of little chimes. What is that called? It's called chimes. And Gary has an electric drill, and he's magnificent on the drill. Gary, why don't you say something?
Hi, boy.
So, Andy, all of your devices are personally constructed?
Personally. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
What is it, Andy Hartson or something?
Something like that. I was, you know, it's hard. The name Art, A-R-T, it's kind of hard to enunciate. In some respects, people always hear it as Walt or Marty. So I've done many shows where I'm introduced as Walt or anything but Art. Anyway, any other questions? Do you have any other questions for us? Have you any other questions for us?
Yes, I do.
And the question is, next question.
It seems that you have a lot of listeners over the age of, or maybe all of them are over the age of 55. Do you anything appear to the younger generation?
No. I think younger people still have their wits about them, and they're able to think more clearly, and given that capability, pretty much steer clear of the kind of stuff that we do.
Okay, now that you've charted near the top of the experimental genre in so many markets, do you feel that your further success is unattainable?
Yeah, I always feel defeated individually, and I think it's part of that defeat that lends a sense of blueness to what we do. I think what we do is a very, very blue form of art or entertainment. So the answer is whatever, you know?
Yes, and about the spiders, spiders everywhere. What's your thing with spiders? Do you fear spiders?
No, I don't. Gary, I think Gary likes them. Do you?
I love them.
Yeah. Gary's an animal lover.
I don't like real ones in real life.
But we do have a gigantic spider that's
a mechanical
spider that's made of steel and... I guess, I don't know what kind of fabric they use. Probably some polyester fibers. And it's motorized, and we adorn it with Christmas lights. And then it's actually a Halloween prop. It would normally go on the front lawn for Halloween. And it's kind of our mascot. So it's a giant spider. It's actually bigger than a basketball.
Yes, I've seen a video of your mechanical spider. Other than that, are visual elements an important part of your performances?
I think Gary would say yes, and I would say I don't care, because, baby, I'm nothing to look at.
I always want a film running. That doesn't always happen, because there's not room enough in my car to bring the screen and projector at the time.
Early, a lot of our early performances, back in the years that we toured, we would always have videographers with us, and sometimes there were two or three camera shoots. And my feeling was that that stuff always got in the way of the music. In fact, there was more equipment involved. And it just made it cumbersome. It was hard to carry around and expensive. So I kind of opted for not these days.
I think the future of our band is going to be more live recordings like this on the radio than in live venues. That's just my thought. But we do have a couple of things lined up.
Yeah. It gets harder as you get older. Been doing this, literally been doing this for 40 years now. Maybe a little bit more, and age takes its toll. You know, your joints get stiff, and you get winded, a lot more tired. It's hard. You get a lot of stamina.
Yeah.
You need a lot of verve, baby. Yeah, you need verve. And so, is it verve? I guess.
It is when you say it.
You know, we're often invited to play live in Cleveland, but the problem is that we're in College Park, Maryland, and that's 1,000 miles away. So we'd like to go out there.
That's not 1,000 miles.
500 miles.
Maybe
355 miles.
Something like that.
It's a lot of miles, baby. Hard to go out. Used to tour all over, not with music from the film. Been involved with quite a few bands in my career, and of course, I'm better known in the music community as a bullshit.
Arthur's actually shared a stage with John Cage. Isn't that true?
I did, when I was a youngster, a mutual friend of ours, the immicable Rupert Chappelle, got me a gig with John Cage, who's a fabulous creative individual from the early part of the 20th century. Oh, God, I feel so old.
Okay.
Next question.
Yes.
Next question.
I read that your group is embarking on a major studio investment. Can you tell me something about that?
We're going to buy some property somewhere. It's going to be in Maryland, although I'm not at liberty to say exactly where. And it is going to be zoned for light commercial use. The structure was a church. We are knocking down the existing structure and building a studio.
A better church.
No, it's not a church at all. We're putting a studio there. It'll be a modern facility, and it will be a digital facility, state-of-the-art, with rooms and booths, and it's going to be very nice. So we're right now, almost 100% of our income from record sales are going toward the construction project, which we expect to have completed by 2014.
Okay.
As things stand. Yes.
Okay. Do you pay attention to the
No.
art? No. Oh, okay. Won't ask you about that then. In the past couple of years, Music from the Filth has been especially prolific, with about a dozen major hard-hitting collections released as data streams on CDs and on vinyl. What is your preferred medium?
I have no clue what you just asked.
I think he was asking what kind of stuff we're going to put out. As Gary said earlier, it's going to be simulcasts or live casts, probably from radio stations. And those, of course, will be archived as data streams. So this program will be available. And future programs should be available. But we probably are not going to produce too many more physical products. Is there a CD in the works right now?
No, you're right. I don't think there's going to be any more physical products.
Okay.
And unless, like, there's, like, some kind of financial commitment from a third party.
It's pretty expensive to make a high-quality CD or vinyl.
And plus, I'm tired of looking at thousands of copies. Well, I don't have thousands of copies of anything, but hundreds of copies of stuff. I made way too many of them.
few things.
I did a gig once with a heavy metal band, and they pressed 80,000 promo copies, and 99% of them got discarded because the band fell apart and the marketing end pulled out of it. This was the end, the demise of the music business as we knew it. So my role in the music industry has greatly changed since the earlier days when I was affiliated with ASCAP. It's a different world, and the internet is responsible for it. Music is so ubiquitous, and there's so many people creating what they call music, that you'll never hear all of it. It all sounds the same, and nobody will pay a dime for it.
Well, yes. Your band is well known for its generosity in disseminating new material free of charge.
I think every band is. Any art group that would be able to do anything almost has to submit to that constraint, that it's very hard to count on that as a sole source of income, at least in this bloody expensive part of the country.
Well, since it takes a considerable amount of financial backing to produce such an enormous volume of physical material such as vinyl and CDs, how do you finance these projects?
A lot of it was old money from the days that we were affiliated with labels, none of which I can mention for legal reasons. But in the days
That's not true at all.
Well, wait a minute, let me continue with this. You know, if you're going to make
wrong, you know.
If you're going to make a lie,
microphones.
All right, look, Gary, you tell it. Yeah, tell him the truth. I'm full of it. Here, Gary,
no,
tell him.
No, yeah, you go.
No, you tell him the truth. Go ahead.
You tell him the truth.
All right, we used to run a house of ill repute in College Park, and the money we made from that venture financed our music business. So that's the answer.
Well, that may be a little bit too much information there.
I'm not telling you where it was located.
You said College Park.
College Park, but there's so many College Parks, you know.
Well, I'm assuming you're talking about College Park in Missouri. Well, maybe we should... conclude this here. We've been speaking with Andy Hartman and Jerry Youngblood, Music from the Filth, live from the studios of WMUC, Missouri University College, College Park, Missouri.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. Get stoned.